Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 29th of the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we believe in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We also are convinced the checks and balances put in place by the Founding Fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast, and we have a two-hour barn burner broadcast for you today. All right, we're going to have a bunch of guests on. We're going to have Eddie Miller. We're going to have our buddy Lee, nicknamed Elvis Presley, because he does karaoke Elvis, you know what I'm saying? We're talking about the American Freedom Party. We're talking about the Council of Conservative Citizens, and they present a Nationalist Solutions Conference. It's happening this weekend right now, nationalistsolutions.com. And I know people are going to start out and say, hey, to even associate with these guys, you're just a flat-out racist, you're a bigot, you're a hater, you're an enemy of liberty, but it's all flat-out lies. You know what? It's amazing. You can promote the black agenda. You can promote the Latino agenda. You can promote the Asian agenda. Well, the Asians are too smart. You can't promote them, really, right? See, we divide us up as Americans in ways that are legitimately dishonest, okay? The issue is honesty. Look, everybody has a godly heritage. Everybody has a history. Everybody has the right to highlight that history. Believe it or not, even white people. I know that's out of favor in society because of the propaganda that's been peddled for decades. I get it. But it's evil, it's dishonest, it's immoral, and it buries and destroys history. Liberty Roundtable Live will not let that happen. So we will talk about nationalistsolutions.com. We will talk about the American Freedom Party. And we will talk about the Council on Conservative Citizens and the conference they've put together. Now, the last couple of days, just to highlight, Wednesday night, Thursday night is when they had their two-hour bonanza? Yeah, it was on primetime TV. The claim is that the socialist debates brought in 15 million viewers on the first night, plus, and 18 million plus viewers on the second night. And I wrote a headline to highlight what they were doing those two nights. Ready? First, socialist Democratic debate, pro-death, unhinged, male-hating, anti-gun, open borders, globalism promoting, not to mention climate crisis claiming racists. Okay, those people literally had their massive event, and no one blinked an eye. They literally doubled down and hated the old white man, Joe Biden, on the stage. But he's as socialist as they are, right? And they literally doubled down in hate speech. They hate the unborn. They hate our laws. They hate our borders. They hate our Constitution. They hate our way of life. And they literally spent 2 hours with 10 candidates first night, 2 hours with 10 candidates second night, 4 hours, 20 candidates of flat out promoting everything against our supreme laws. And then they doubled down and said, please elect me so I can swear an oath and betray everything that I've just promised you, just told you, just highlighted as my, quote, go-to buttons. I mean, it is insanity on steroids. Then we bring up another idea that says, hey, what about America being a nationalist country? What about the idea that, you know what, we don't hate everybody else in the world, but we do want to preserve our own United States heritage and interest. We want to preserve our white culture. We want to preserve our beliefs in who we are and our heritage. And we have the right to stand up for it. And then they marginalize us as the bigots. Wow. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sam Bushman, and I'm not afraid to talk about the tough issues. With that, we got a couple of talk show hosts on the line. First, you got Eddie Miller. And he does a radio program syndicated by Liberty News Radio, the network that I own. And the show is called Blood River Radio. It will air live later today, 2 hours as well. And he's going to cover the same NationalistSolutions.com conference. Eddie, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you so much, Sam. You're the master. You've covered all the bases as you usually do. And I'd like to tell the audience to I'd like to thank them so much for you, Sam. And Sam can tell you flat out, I don't blow hot air. I don't suck up. I just give credit where credit's due. And Sam is the man. Were it not for Sam Bushman, people, we would not be able to be plugged in here at Montgomery Bell State Park. We'll tell you a little bit about Montgomery Bell, just a little bit about how an evil white person created this place up here. But Sam, you hit all the buttons. Thank you so much for having us on the air. Sam, Liberty News, Blood River, later on tonight, we're going to be airing 2 hours on Political Cesspool 2. We're going to help James out. And James is going to help us out. But we're fighting for the freedom. We're fighting against everything. Sam just came on and just what Sam described in my book, and I'm going to get to the opening here in a minute, is we talked about, and Sam's heard it before too. And I know Sam and Jacob both can quote the scripture rhyme and verse, but we fight. What you see at this Democratic National Solution Conference that Sam just gets to talking about, they're hyped up on Satan, man. Every stinking one of them that believe what they were talking about, that believe all that crap, all that garbage they're putting out, it's satanic. It's nowhere near America. It's nowhere near the Constitution. It's not any God's law. What they're talking about is total anarchy run by Satan himself. If they get their wish, we'll all die. Before I go any further, because I'm going to let Jacob, my co-host right here to my right, lead to my left. Jacob's dad is running the conference, so I'm not going to tell you a whole lot about the conference. I'll tell you in a nutshell what I think it is, but then Tyler is going to tell you all about the conference. But here's what we are. I want to let people know the atmosphere here. We're deep in the woods at Montgomery State Park, and I guess you'd say central Tennessee. We're about probably 25 miles from Nashville. It's a beautiful park. We're in a beautiful hotel here. And here's the positive part with the police. You have never seen such police protection in your life, Sam. They have drug dogs out here. They have dogs that sniff explosives. They've sniffed every car in the parking lot. We've seen them this morning. One of the people said, what are those dogs doing out there sniffing those cars? They're looking for bombs. They're looking for drugs. They had Antifa was up here last year in mass, absolutely in mass, and the police stopped them cold. But the positive part is how wonderfully organized the police are. You've never seen such provision. They've come in here and sniffed us. Now for the negative part. They have to do the fact that we have to do that, Sam, in today's society says we have to go through all this paramilitary operations to exercise our freedom of speech. God forbid, God only forbid that America has sunk that low. And one little aside, I just read about 15 minutes ago, plaque up here, Montgomery Bell State Park was named after another evil white man who migrated in here from Pennsylvania in the early 1700s. They dug dirt out of the ground. It happened to be iron ore here. They set up these little homemade iron smelting furnaces. They made great iron, great quality, actually supplied armaments to General Andrew Jackson when he was fighting the Bloody British in the Battle of New Orleans. Now, here's what I think. I'm just going to make this announcement right here. This that I know about the conference, and I'm sure Jacob will not mind. One of the themes of this conference is unite, circle the wagons. Anybody that's ever had an argument, a beef, God knows we've had them with the cesspool. We've had them in the Blood River. I fight with my own family. But the time for fighting and backbiting, gentlemen, is over. Because personally, unless we have a direct intervention from God Almighty, the white race is done in this country. Christians are done in this country. I mean, Christians are under such hatred and such a virulent attack. So
now there's no doubt we're under attack. There's no doubt it's abusive. There's no doubt it's a hostile environment. But as long as I'm on the radio, we're never done, Eddie.
That's right, Sam. It looks almost hopeless. But I tell you, Sam, we have to turn to God Almighty. We have to turn our back from our evil ways, because like we said earlier, we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities. I know Sam's heard me say that 1,000 times. I've heard Sam say it 1,000 times. But that was my little speech. Now, people, I want to go to you. He's one of my top guys in the world.
Before we get to him, let's talk really quick, though. The American Freedom Party and the Council of Conservative Citizens are the ones who put this conference together at Montgomery Bell State Park. Now, the state park is a fascinating place because it's rural. It's out in the country. And you know what? We welcome the police support to make sure that our rights are protected, that we can speak out and share our views and commune together and break bread together and spend time together. And these are things afforded to us. And, you know, they say we're anti-government, but again, they lie. We welcome the police there to support law and order, to prevent the naysayers from creating violence, as they have done at so many other events. Then, of course, the violence gets blamed on us when we're in self-defense mode oftentimes. This is a critical understanding here. Whenever we have an event and the government does their job, then it's a peaceful, productive, free speech affair of good, honest people getting together to celebrate our history and who we are and what we stand for and what we're doing. It's wonderful. When the government doesn't do their job and they let violence reign, and they literally let unhinged belligerence become the order of the day, there's no good answers, folks. So we will celebrate this conference live. We will talk to several of the speakers. We will talk to Eddie Miller. We will talk to our buddy Lee. We will talk to several of the speakers. We'll talk to Jacob Tyler coming up first. His dad is organizing the conference. His dad, as far as I understand, he's running for office. We'll talk about that, too. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Between the parades, picnics, and fireworks from coast to coast, most of us are experts on how to celebrate Independence Day. This year, we invite you to join us at Liberty Hall in Far West Utah for a grand old 4th of July celebration that focuses on why we celebrate. From noon to 2 p.m., come and hear patriotic music by Radiant Productions. We'll be showing a screening of A More Perfect Union. Enjoy free hot dogs and popcorn. And hear Benjamin Franklin speak on the Declaration of Independence. Make it an Independence Day to remember, Thursday, July 4th from noon to 2 p.m. at Liberty Hall, 3677 North, Highway 126 in Far West Utah. Sponsored by Loving Liberty. All proceeds benefit Follow the Flag.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a series of guests from the Nationalist Solutions Conference, Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee. We are live. I'm anchoring from the studios. We got people live on the scene there now. Eddie Miller with me right this second. So I'm saying to you that they are unhinged, and they want to attack everything that we believe in, and I'm grateful for law and order, sir.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And see, Sam, like I'm getting ready to go to Jacob, and then we're hunting Rick down. Rick Tyler is the big organizer of this conference. He's running for president of the United States. Matter of fact, God willing, we'll also be talking to Sam in Liberty News Radio. August the 12th, we're supposed to be in Charlottesville Rick is going to be giving, Rick Tyler, the presidential candidate, is going to be giving a speech up at Charlottesville if he can get the permit. That's going to be kind of like his opening. He's going to the opening fired salvo across the bow of the establishment. But like I was saying, Sam, agreeing with you wholeheartedly, I haven't seen one person at this conference, and I've been doing this quite a while, that said, "Oh, I hate blacks. I hate Jews." No, here's what we are, and I'll sum it up quickly. We believe, for whatever reason, God made many races. You know, what God separated, let no man bring together, etc. You know, that's kind of like the motto. God, what God did, God did. God loves all of us. We love everybody. But we do believe each race has its own unique culture. It has its own unique physical, mental, psychological, genetics. We're not saying any one is better than the other. We're just saying we want to preserve our own culture and heritage. I'm glad I look like my great-grandfather. I idolize my great-grandfather and my grandfather. I'm glad my children look like me. I'm glad that they're better Christians than I'll ever be. I'm glad that all my people around me are that same way. That's all we want to do. We want to preserve our culture, just like the blacks, the Jews, the Hispanics, whatever. They, too, have a right to preserve their culture. And with that, the bombardier is going to shut up. I'm going over to my co-host, Jacob Tyler, the father, as we said, of Rick Tyler, who's running for president, and who's the big kahuna for organizing this conference right here. Jacob, take it away,
sir. Got it. Hey, Jacob, welcome, sir.
Thank you, Eddie, and thank you, Sam, for having me on.
All right, get more on your mic. Get fired up there, Jacob. And so you, everybody arrived. The conference started on Friday, right?
Yes, it did. Wind-up or the kind of build-up to the event begins much earlier in the day. We ourselves came in on Thursday and started setting up and doing things like that. But the conference proper began at 4 o'clock yesterday. And we've already had one speaker come on, Augustus Invictus, who's an attorney, as I understand it, and a luminary in the alt-right scene. He's made a name for himself and has made a lot of waves recently. He was also going to be one of the speakers at Charlottesville before that was violently shut down by the champions of the high road.
They never got to speak, huh? So much for freedom of speech in Charlottesville.
Yes. The event was, there were several speakers scheduled for the day, and of course they were protesting the removal of the statue of General Lee, and the police just, you know, let the lefties assault us and everyone else that was there violently for, a couple hours before shutting down the event. So yeah, Augustus Invictus was going to be one of the speakers there, and he's been making waves and has been pretty well known in the alt-right scene for quite a while prior to that, and he's a real fascinating guy. So he was our speaker last night, and then, of course, my father gave an address just kind of introducing the event, and this is our second year for this event, by the way, but we're really taking this sort of roundtable approach, like Eddie was saying earlier, with this event and putting this heavy emphasis on getting people from across the right-wing spectrum to come together to this event, basically making it open to anyone who's doing anything productive at all in the right-wing scene, as it were. And, it's a slightly outside the box approach that we're taking because most events, by their nature, are a little more insular and exclusive. And I'm blessed enough to be able to attend at least a few of the conferences that go on held by different organizations every year. And I haven't been to one yet that I didn't benefit from tremendously and meet so many fantastic people at and hear all kinds of great speeches at. But every single conference, by its nature, is a little bit insular and exclusive because, typically speaking, it's the conference that's being held by this particular event. It's the League of the South's National Conference or American Renaissance. And it's not exclusive
by necessarily intent, but by the nature of the organization itself running the event, where this is more of a multi-group of organizations in a roundtable fashion, is your point. It's not that they reject people necessarily. It's just that if you're not, for example, part of one of the other of the groups, by nature it's that way, not by necessarily intention, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the events themselves always tend to have a very impressive lineup of speakers in their own right. And, you know, you see all kinds of fantastic people there. But yeah, just by virtue of the fact that it is the fill in the blank national conference, you know, the blank referring to the organization itself, you're typically going to see people there that are either associated or affiliated or at least friends with that organization as a whole. And as we all know, there's a lot of infighting going on in the movement. And even when there's not that going on, there's just so much going on. There's so many fellow laborers in the trenches that are putting themselves out there, sticking their necks out and fighting the good fight, that even when you would, you know, hypothetically be completely fine with somebody and what they're doing, you just might not know about them. There's just not enough time in the day in most cases to really get to know all these people. And so we're taking this approach of offering a venue and giving something, a little something for anyone to take away from the event who's got any kind of involvement in it whatsoever. So, you know, we'd even welcome folks that are classified in the alt-light category, you know, to use the nomenclature that's common today, where, you know, people like Paul Joseph Watson or Lauren Southern and people like that who typically would keep us at arm's length. But, you know, if they deign to appear at an event like ours, we'd be glad to have them, because the whole idea is getting people that have these common interests, that recognize these core issues that we are facing as a people and as a nation, who are standing in some way, shape, or form against the forces of evil and against the culture disorders. You know, we want to hear from them, and we want to create this this venue and this environment where people can come together on the basis of like mind, and in so doing, they can be challenged by being seeing things and people and organizations that are doing stuff that they might not have ever even known existed before. And the way we figure it, the more we can do that, the more we can provide that for people that come to this conference, the more we're actually empowering people to come to this event and it not just be another nice gathering where they hear some good speeches and everything, but to actually be and become this genuine networking hub where people can meet up with like-minded folks, make connections they never had before, maybe even finally have a sit-down with some guy they'd been feuding with. And, you know, because once there's that dynamic of once you meet somebody face-to-face, you know, so much of the online squabbling or whatever that's been going on may dissipate. You know, a lot of that tends to dissolve the very moment you actually have some kind of serious FaceTime with somebody.
Yeah, and Jacob, and, one of the terms I like to use is a term called coordination. You know, one of the great things that happens at these conferences when there's a hub like you're speaking of is this coordination idea. So as far as I understand for this, the American Freedom Party teamed up with the Council for Conservative Citizens. They got this conference together. And then as far as I understand, we had a little bit of difficulty with some funding, etc. And then League of the South and others kind of jumped in to make sure the conference carried forward. This is the kind of collaboration. This is the kind of round table or whatever you want to say. This is where the coordination starts to happen, where we say, wait a minute, you know what? We're all like-minded in what we're trying to accomplish here. Let's make sure that we make time for one another. Let's bring back to our organizations this coordinative effort. Let's take the time to make sure that, you know what? What we're doing has this coordinative principle. And I think that results in the ability for us to make a difference. You know, we don't need a majority. What we need is a few good men and women lighting brush fires of freedom. And then that starts to grow and the synergism starts to occur.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's, you mentioned how Dr. Hill and the League of the South stepped in and provided some timely additional funding for the event. Yeah. I mean, these things are anyone who's been involved in it. I'm sure if you yourself haven't been closely involved in the organizing of something like this, I'm quite sure you know numerous people who have, Sam. And so I'm sure you maybe more than a lot of people appreciate just how difficult and taxing it is to put something like this together. And yeah, the League and Dr. Hill, they set a fantastic example. Dr. Hill's a speaker at the event. But I mean, it's not their event. I mean, we're friends with them. We've known them. We've been to some of their events and everything. But there was no, you know, real like serious stake they had in it. And when the memo was put out that, hey, you know, we're having a little bit of a shortfall here with some of our fundraising, I mean, Dr. Hill and the League was really quick to step in and really add or provide this much needed and timely infusion to the fundraising efforts. So, yeah, I mean,
now,
just setting
the
a fantastic example.
When I see the socialists meet on TV for two nights in a row, 20 candidates, they add 15-plus million to the first one is what they're touting, 18-plus million to the second one. You know what? We've got a tiny group compared to that, but it reminds me of the Lord in the Bible, how he keeps whittling down his fighting force. Hey, we're in good company. Hang tight, Jacob. See if you can grab Mike and Bill, too. We'll do it all in seconds. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. We are live from Montgomery State Park in Tennessee for the National Solutions Conference.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump is wrapping up a 20-nation summit in Japan with a long news conference. Trade with China is one of the main topics, and the president reported on decisions he's made after talks with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
I promised that for at least the time being, we're not going to be lifting tariffs.
He also spoke of visiting the demilitarized zone between the two Koreas.
Spoke with the people. Kim Jong-un was very receptive. He responded, and so we'll see. Because tomorrow we're going to the DMZ. I said, while I'm there, I'll shake his hand. We get along.
He was also asked about former President Jimmy Carter, who has questioned Mr. Trump's presidential legitimacy, saying Russians helped him to win by cheating.
He was a nice man. He was a terrible president. He's a Democrat, and it's a typical talking point.
This is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
On Friday, he was sentenced to life in prison. The self-admitted white supremacist who drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters, killing one person, Heather Heyer. It happened at the Nationalist Rally 2 years ago in Charlottesville, North Carolina. Heather's mother, Susan Breaux, spoke to reporters after the sentencing.
Very happy you got life in prison across the board. I did not want the death penalty. Blood on my hands. He probably deserved it, but it really wouldn't accomplish anything. I apologize to the taxpayers for saddling you with this additional burden, but in the long run, it was the judge's call.
The acting Secretary of Homeland Security says he expects a 25% drop in the number of immigrants crossing the southern border this month. Kevin McAleenan is crediting Mexico.
Over the past 3 weeks since the administration reached a new agreement with Mexico, that we've seen a substantial increase in the number of interdictions on the Mexican southern border.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Live, ladies and gentlemen, from Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee, the American Freedom Party, teaming up with the Council of Conservative Citizens, teaming up with the League of the South, presents the Nationalist Solutions Conference live this weekend. We're covering it. The organizer of the whole event, Rick Tyler? Welcome, sir.
Good morning. I'm very pleased to be able to be with you.
Now, you're also running for office, right?
Yes, I am the 2020 presidential candidate for the American Freedom Party.
Wow. All right. Well, we hope you become president.
Now, I will simultaneously be also running for Congress in Tennessee. A lot of people don't know you can run for two offices at once. I did that in 2018. I was on the ballot both for governor of Tennessee as well as the United States House of Representatives in the 3rd District of Tennessee.
All right. So running for office big time. So the conference kicked off yesterday. What, it goes through today or is it tomorrow as well?
Actually, we will go through midday tomorrow. We will have a panel discussion and a question and answer session with all of the speakers that are still there tomorrow. And we will conclude with that session. But today, We have a very full day of speakers. Literally, I mean, we have so many excellent speakers. It's going to be a difficult challenge for me to squeeze everything in that needs to happen today.
Now, let's start out and say you've got people coming from around the world, though. Simon Roche from Africa. You got, Tom Sunick coming in, right?
Yes, Dr. Tom Sunick is here, and he, of course, always never fails to deliver a fantastic talk. He's got such a broad insight and understanding of the affairs that are transpiring in Europe. Simon, of course, is right on the cutting edge in South Africa, and he is the man, you know, to go to hear, which unfortunately often is very grim news about what's happening in South Africa, but you know, you have to be willing to face the facts squarely in order to be able to deal with them.
You know, when some of our people have tried to travel overseas, they get arrested, etc. We had that happen to a few different people as of late, and we've highlighted those things as well. I'm surprised a little bit that they're letting people travel freely.
I know I am too, and I have to somewhat attribute that to the grace of God. We know that very often there could be nefarious plans on the part of men, but, you know, if there is divine intervention, so to speak, you know, then great things can happen. And I attribute some of these successes to the, you know, overarching, you know, sovereign will of God. And I'm just thankful for it.
All right. People are gathering together. They're hearing incredible speakers. They're breaking bread. They're spending a lot of time together. We'll get into a little bit of the speeches in just a second. But, Rick, what's the roundtable panel? Can you give us a couple of teaser questions for tomorrow?
Well, that's going to be something that will be opened up to the attendees so that they, you know, can exercise that rare opportunity to ask a question that might be, you know, burning on their heart or mind to these individual speakers who are there. And, of course, one of the interesting things about that type of forum as well is that you also benefit from the interaction between the speakers themselves as they sit together more or less on the stage, you know, as a panel to answer questions. So it brings about some unique moments of interchange.
All right, so Liberty Roundtable Live wants to submit a question. Are you ready for it?
Sure,
yes. You can write this down, submit this in the kitty or whatever. I don't care if I get credit for it or not. I'm not interested in the credit, but I am interested in the answers. So whether you agree or disagree with our agenda, ladies and gentlemen, you know, I know some people just don't understand it, and so they disagree. Others understand it and hate us. I get it. I think we're free to associate. That's the important key here. So here's the question. How do we around the world preserve our freedom of association when they're restricting our travel? They're literally kicking guys like David Duke out of hotels. They're literally throwing people in jail for expressing views or trying to meet together, suggesting it's going to be a hostile event. Every effort shows that we're not hostile, that we're peaceful, that the other side agitates and et cetera, and then they blame it on us or whatever. So how do we preserve our freedom of association around the world when they're kicking us out of hotels or preventing us from travel? What do we do worldwide to preserve this, I believe, God-given right of free association, sir?
Well, that's an excellent question, and I will certainly pose that to that question and answer panel tomorrow. And, of course, I would say myself that right off the cuff, obviously the willingness to exercise that liberty, that freedom, even in the face of danger and persecution, is the fundamental first prerequisite. Because just like a muscle, you know, if you don't use a muscle, it atrophies. And if we don't continue to use these rights, to utilize them, to insist upon them being acknowledged and recognized, then we will certainly, you know, very quickly lose whatever remaining vestiges of our rights that we have.
Because at first it starts and they say, well, you can't go to this hotel. Then they say, well, you can't travel here. Then they say, well, hey, you're dangerous. You can't freely associate in this restaurant. And pretty soon they're going to say, well, you just can't really talk on the radio. You might organize some underhanded. Okay. What they're attacking is our ability to freely associate with one another. And if we lose that, I'm telling you, it's all over, sir.
Well, we are absolutely on the cutting edge of the battle for the First Amendment in this nation, and of course, obviously, in the world. The rest of the world doesn't have the First Amendment. We are so fortunate and blessed in America that we do have that amendment. I did speak of that last night, in fact, in the opening remarks of the conference, because even here at the Montgomery Bell facility, were it not for the First Amendment and the government's mandate from the Supreme Court that they have to maintain a climate that's conducive to the exercise of the First Amendment, we wouldn't be here. We couldn't even be here. And here at this state park in Tennessee, the law enforcement personnel do an extraordinary job of keeping the otherwise violent leftist revolutionary types in check. They can easily be kept in check if law enforcement is determined to do their duty. And they are here. They do an excellent job. But behind the scenes,
this typifies the difference between this kind of an event that's very structured, very safe, very organized, no violence, orderly, and the Charlottesville meltdown. This is primarily the difference, the role that government's willing to appropriately, properly play. The goal of government is to prevent violence, to protect life, liberty, and property, to create a level playing field, and they get out of the way. And they're doing a tremendous job at Montgomery State Park, but they're not didn't do a great job at Charlottesville. And you see the difference, clear as a bell, don't you? Pardon the phrase, Montgomery State. Anyway, clear as a bell, huh?
Yes, yes, absolutely. It couldn't be more of a stark contrast. And, of course, the same thing happened in Berkeley, you know, where you have leftist governance there, you know, wherever you have this socialistic left-wing governmental paradigm in play, it seems that they are determined to let the leftist forces run amok and then force people into what devolves into violent confrontations. And then, of course, they get this all on film and then selectively show those who are of the, you know, quote-unquote right-wing disposition defending themselves, but they misleadingly present that as though, you know, our people are on the offensive instead of being purely on the defensive.
And not wanting the confrontation. They make it sound like we're just, you know, seeking the confrontation. Couldn't be further from the truth. Look at this conference as proof of point. All right, when they had this big socialist conference I mentioned, that they had like 18-plus million people watch the second night, 15-plus million people watch the first night, as these 20-plus candidates literally doubled down and promote socialism. I mentioned that the first socialist Democratic debate was pro-death, it was unhinged, male-hating, anti-gun, open borders, globalism promoting, not to mention this climate crisis claiming, but really they're the racists, because they're the ones that won't allow white people to assemble freely and peacefully. Okay, that's racism at its height. The reason I bring all this up, though, is because Donald Trump and a few others got the chance to kind of speak out via Twitter and get their say during the debates as well. I want to give you a chance to get your say during the debates. Any quick comments on the, in my opinion, the promotion of socialism, everything they advocated for, all 20-plus candidates over two nights literally promoted everything we stand against, and then they want us to have them swear an oath on the Bible to the supreme law? I mean, have we lost our minds, Rick?
Well, I believe we have. I believe that our country and at least, you know, unfortunately, 50% of the body politic, it would seem, has unfortunately, again, this devolving phenomenon. They have gotten to the point where it is literally insanity. And you have these candidates, as you stated, you know, seeking to outdo one another. I've never seen anything the likes of it in my lifetime, certainly. It seems like just when you think it can't get any more preposterous and any more absurd, it does. It is truly a theater of the absurd. And so all you can do is sit back and wait and see what the next outrage, the next insane expression is going to be. Now, it's obviously, you know, a reality, too, that, you know, those who are operating the levers of power, there are certain candidates that they favor. And as we see this Kamala Harris, a very, very odious and despicable specimen, you know, of America's present political reality, senator from sad state of California, this woman is obviously being touted and being promoted, you know, in a not so subtle manner. The South Bend, Indiana mayor, you know, is obviously a favorite, too, even though he recently underwent, you know, some crisis in his home venue with the police shooting.
Right, so really quick, we're almost out of time. What's your website, Rick?
The website is, of course, the nationalistsolutions.com website. And mine, I have ricktylerforcongress.com and also ricktylerforpresident.com.
All right, hang tight. I want you to say what you were going to say, but right after the pause, I want to give you a chance to rock and roll. Stay there, Rick. We got a couple other guests coming up as well, live from Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Isn't this great? Just the two of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone, no TV. Finally, we have a chance to just talk. I mean, how long has it been? Well, first of all, we should talk about your schedule. There are a few things that could use some adjusting, but overall, I think it's going all right. Basically, I think we're doing a pretty good job of communicating, which is good. You're doing a really good job of letting me know how you feel about things. I want to keep the lines open, if you know what I mean.
Jerry? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing?
Oh, I was just giving Emily a bottle.
Who are you talking to?
Emily.
She's only 3 weeks old, and she's asleep.
I know. I was just practicing.
Family, isn't it about time?
Isn't this great? Just the three of us. No work, no interruptions, no phone.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Live from Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the Nationalist Solutions Conference. Nationalistsolutions.com is the website. Check that out. Rick Tyler running for president on the American Freedom Party ticket, also running for Congress in the state of Tennessee. RickTylerForPresident.com to learn more about that. Rick, you were saying?
Well, I was just critiquing that spectacle that they are calling the Democratic debate. And again, I've never seen anything like it in my lifetime. And I just sadly know that it is going to get worse. And these handpicked preferred candidates, such as the South Bend, Indiana mayor, they represent a new low in the metamorphosis that's transpiring in our country. This mayor, to openly smooch with his so-called husband, as he does, to me, that just speaks volumes as to where we are. I would say God help us in this country, in our Western Christian civilization that once was so stalwart in defense, of these traditional principles upon which the country was founded. And now the things that we are tolerating and considering to be routine, I say we, of course, just in terms of the broad cross-section of the nation. But even those who know better are still way too tolerant of a lot of this insanity, this overt, abject, unabashed socialism that is spewing forth from the Democratic Party.
All right, there you have it, Rick's take. What's the most important issue for you today as you run for president and Congress in the state of Tennessee? What is the singular greatest issue for you?
Well, it's hard to pick out the most important issue, and obviously
yes,
the
is.
Demographic, the seismic demographic shift in America in my lifetime, going from a supermajority of 85 to 90% people of Caucasian or European heritage to where we are now. And, of course, now we are teetering on the brink of very soon the European people, who founded this country becoming the statistical minority in America. This, of course, is probably the greatest issue, because along with that, there are so many spin-off effects that people don't understand. But and of course, one of them being that it seems that no matter what the reason is, and you can talk till the cows come home about what the reason is, but for whatever that reason is, people who are not of that ancestral heritage seem to overwhelmingly vote for the most socialistic option on the ballot.
Or in other words, they seem to not hold dear the principles of God, family, and country that made this country what it is today, made this country the greatest country on the earth.
That's right. And, of course, we are in defiance of the obvious record of history. Whenever you dilute and water down a population and you try to create this multi-ethnic, multi-racial, multicultural polyglot, this patchwork, it never works. It never has worked historically. It won't work in America. It can only be held together by brutal police state power. And, of course, we've seen examples of it in, you know, even the last, you know, several decades going back into the 80s, the breakup of the Soviet Union and the collapse of the Eastern Bloc. Countries like Yugoslavia, you know, the things that have happened that clearly enunciate and establish this longstanding record of history are going to happen here. The Balkanization, the division, the breakup of this country. And, of course, that's a tragic, tragic situation.
And
Sam,
tragedy,
I'm going to be in...
Tragedy is government misusing its authority and being kind of the tip of the spear for that divide-and-conquer tactic as well. The total opposite of what the whole purpose of government even is, sir.
That's right. And of course, then we get to the Constitution and the fact that it is the law to govern the government. And the government, excuse me, is breaking that law virtually every waking hour of every day, not abiding by the constitutional precepts that they swore to uphold and defend. And so that, of course, is a towering problem. We have to somehow hold their feet to the fire, hold them accountable. But it's easier said than done. Just very quickly, I'm going to be in Charlottesville, God willing, on the anniversary. On August 12th, I'm going to be on the campus of University of Virginia delivering a lecture entitled Debunking the Myths of Charlottesville, because Charlottesville represents probably one of the greatest frontal assaults on our country, on our liberty, this complete, you know, misrepresentation of the narrative of what happened at Charlottesville. And we want to forcefully rebut that. And as a presidential candidate of a recognized party, recognized by the Federal Election Commission, I intend, by the grace of God, to deliver that message forcefully and effectively and get it on the record.
Debunking the myths of Charlottesville.
Yes.
Critical topic, sir. Our prayers are that you get to deliver that speech and set the record straight. Make sure to get a recording of it. Keep me posted. We'll cover it on the radio. Rick, we appreciate you, sir. Thanks for putting together such a delightful conference. And thank you, sir, for running for president for Congress, for putting your money where your mouth is. Not only your money, your time and your efforts. And anyway, we appreciate it, sir.
Well, it's an honor to be on your program, and it's an honor to be able to try to serve the cause of liberty and truth and justice. And we're going to be opening our conference here very shortly at 9 o'clock Central Time and announcing our first speaker very soon. And we're going to have a jam-packed, robust day of fascinating speaking and insight and wisdom being delivered from the platform. And I'm looking forward to hearing all of the speakers myself.
All right. They try to dub Rick as a supremacist, but I haven't disliked anything I've heard. I agree with preserving our godly American heritage. I think we have every right to do that in our European heritage. And who we are is not to be something to be ashamed of. Thanks, Rick. All right. Who do we got next? Tom Sinnott coming up?
Yes. Yes.
All right, Lee's getting Tom Sunick on the radio right now, ladies and gentlemen. We are live, by the way, from Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee. We're talking about the Nationalist Solutions Conference, nationalistsolutions.com. Hi, Tom.
Okay. Oh, Tom, you can just take it away.
Hi, Tom.
Okay, we get. Can you come over here, Tom?
All right, yeah. They're trying to organize things.
Tom Sunick.
Eddie's supposed to be doing a better job than this, ladies and gentlemen. Come on now, Eddie. Get with the program. Focus, bro.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, go ahead, Mr. Sunick. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Yes, well, thank you very much for your invitation. I hope you can hear me well.
Talk a little louder. Get excited, yeah. And we can hear you fine, Tom. How are you, sir?
Okay, well, thank you. First,
Did they give you any trouble when you were traveling to come here?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm a U.S. citizen, whatever that means. But I had troubles with the air, with the storm, with delayed flights, with the lost luggage. Oh. But I did make it. However, I got to tell you, thanks for your question. A couple of my friends were denied entry here, some Spanish folks, some Swedish folks, some Serbian folks that I know well. They were denied entry. I don't know for which reasons. So I can only speculate. I can take a wild guess. I guess there were some political reasons behind. And, of course, vice versa. We know very well what happened.
Let me understand, Tom. Were they trying to come to the conference?
Yes. In fact, they were trying to attend the conference as just regular guests. And some of them I know well. Also from the UK, some folks were denied visa to enter the United States of America. I suspect for political reasons. As far as I know them, they certainly have no criminal record, no violent record. So I'm a little bit surprised with this whole issue about the First Amendment and how some people get visas. In fact, let me put it that way, if I may. There are millions and millions of illegal immigrants living in the United States of America. There are hundreds of, actually thousands, right this very same moment, who are crossing Rio Grande. And I can only suspect what's crossing their mind. They're certainly not thinking about how to contribute to this country. Some of them have probably some nasty ideas about the United States of America. So I don't understand how some good people, in fact, I can mention Jess Turner. I don't know if you heard about Jess Turner. He just came out of prison the other day. He was serving the sentence, 1 year sentence for quote unquote Holocaust denial in the UK. And I asked him, in fact, that we were corresponding on email, Jez, are you coming to our conference? And of course, he was not quite explicit, but I understand that he has some problems now traveling to other EU countries, including the United States of America. And I could go on and on for quite some time about this. Let me put it that way. We live in a, you know, in a sort of what they call in France, they call it the democracy under surveillance. I don't know how to translate it correctly. It's a controlled democracy. So you've got to be careful how you actually.
Except we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, Tom.
Yeah, well, it's a good one. I'm not happy either with even using the word democracy, because this word has become meaningless. And I'm talking to you now and to your guests and to your viewers, to your listeners as a linguist, because this is also my field of study. And, of course, I got a degree in comparative linguistics. And I'm incredibly and exceedingly scared, in fact, scared, let me put it differently. I'm very upset with the semantic distortion going on in the American legal system and, of course, the EU legal system, even with the stupid verbal construct hate speech. It didn't exist 40 years back. So ask yourself who constructed this term, hate speech. What does that mean, hate speech? Hate speech, you know, for me is free speech. If I can, look, the best way to discredit somebody, and I can be very specific, let's say certain hostile circles, certain hostile elites in the United States of America, or for that matter in the European Union, if they don't like some of your pieces of rhetoric, if they don't like some of your prose, in my case, some of my books, they can call Tom Sonic. Well, Tom Sonic is engaged, quote unquote, in hate speech. And hate speech is just a misnomer. It's basically, how can I say, it's a semantic distortion, and I'm appealing to your guests and to your listeners to be very, very careful when they listen to their politicians, respectively, be it in the States or be it in Europe, and to check their grammar, to check their style, and also to make sure that the word that they use or misuse have their proper or improper meaning. I guess this is my field of study, and I'm very much concerned about that. To make the story short, I'm sorry that some of my colleagues could not attend this very nice meeting, which was put up by a friend of mine, Rick Tyler.
All right, Tom, you're going to speak. Give us a teaser.
Okay, I'm going to talk a little. Of course, I'll make some opening remarks about this, as I will say more or less the same thing for 5 minutes that I've just told you. But I will talk about the racial awareness in the ancient Rome and in ancient Greece. And now, of course, I will not use a very academic lingo. I just want to make sure most of the people understand what I'm talking about. And I will draw some parallels with the modern racial awareness in the United States of America, and, of course, in the entire West. And I will, of course, give some advices. In fact, my main thesis is that we should be proud of who we are. We should deconstruct this negative denomination of white supremacism or hate speech. These are all Mickey Mouse words. These are nonsense words that were purposely, deliberately foisted upon us by the hostile elites, particularly in the media and, of course, in the higher education, in order to discredit us, in order to demean us, in order to actually to delegitimize us. So this is my main thesis in my speech tonight, this evening. And of course, I will be quoting profusely, probably not too much because I'll be running out of time. I'll be quoting Sallust, a great Roman poet from the first century before Christ, who was actually complaining about multicultural Rome during his time. And of course,
in other words, a lot of people believe this is a new discussion, a new construct, but in fact, it isn't. It's an age-old way to destroy, divide, and conquer a people, is what it really is.
Absolutely. Not just the people, but our people, our white people. So, again, this process has been going on for quite some time, with one big and negative exception. And let's keep in mind what's going on right now in Europe. Or for that matter, I can use the United States of America. It's the same Xerox copy of we are talking about the racial replacement now going on.
All right. And, we're flat out of time. Tom Sunick, thank you so much, sir. Give out your website, will you?
Sure, www.tomsunick.com. If you have some students around, people who like reading classics, tell them that Tom Sunick is always at their service. God bless you, folks, and take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we had Rick Tyler, Jacob Tyler, Eddie Miller, Lee Cochran. I'm telling you right now, we are live from Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee, Nationalist Solutions Conference. Wow, 1 hour done, 2 hours coming up. Time flies when you're having fun, I'll tell you that right now. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. Please get involved, make it a great day, and choose the right. LibertyRoundtable.com, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.